everybody. Welcome to this episode of Vulnerable. I have a fantastically funny guest, Miles Weber. He is a comic who popped onto my feed, and I absolutely had to collab with him here. And I loved this episode because we laughed our butts off and talk a lot about the world of comedy and what it's like to approach it through the lens of a clean comic, sort of a topical comic. He does a lot of like millennial and 90s humor. But it's a really great generational chat that we had, and I hope you'll enjoy this episode of Vulnerable. Hi, Miles.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having
me. I told you, I'm demanding of you a single you said a Demi Moore.
I can give you, you said you better cry because this is vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so I said I could try and give you a Demi Moore ghost role. Just one solid, like straight-faced, we still got stuff to do.
Straight-faced.
I got to pick the kids up from school. Like that one, the solid. Which is a very millennial thing, I feel like, now. Crying on the way to pick the kids up from school. Just holding it together, right?
Dying from the inside.
Yeah.
You know, I used to do that, too, like, when I acted. I thought that was, like, my my trump card, my ace in the pocket.
Was being able to cry on command?
Was the one tear.
The one tear?
And then, what you gotta do, I just wanna give everybody... Like the what you really got to do is you got it when you feel it hit the cheekbone, right? The middle apple of the cheek.
Yeah.
As they say, you hit the light, whatever light you know is around you, hit the light so you can see it glisten. Otherwise it doesn't count.
Wow.
You got to see it.
Because yeah, you have to have sparkle. Something reflect off of it.
Yeah. So it sparkles. Otherwise it's just, you're like, why are you sweating?
See, that's how I knew I wouldn't be too good at acting is because... If I was able
you're
to
not
make
a sociopath?
That, if I was able, no, if I was able to make that happen, I would get excited. Like, I would feel it hit the roll. I would hit the light and be like, fuck yeah.
I know.
And then they'd be like, cut, you can't say fuck yeah. That's not what the scene requires.
But like, low key, totally I did get excited.
But look.
Yeah.
I did it.
And that's why my career stopped with Disney and didn't go forward.
Because you couldn't cry. It's because we got too excited on the tear.
Exactly. I started to smile while I was sparkling. And that's Disney's like, nice. That's good.
What a fun thing to have in the contract.
We actually had a lot of crazy things in our contract at Disney.
I believe it.
One of them was a morality clause. And then another one was like, you couldn't skateboard and do like sports, like general sports.
Why? Because you might hurt yourself?
If you hurt yourself, it's like liability. And I think that there's insurance on the adult site, but imagine being a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, I can't roller skate. It says in the bylines. And first of all, how are you going to tell any minor that they can and cannot do something? I don't even fucking listen to my parents.
Yeah.
Much less some piece
this
of paper.
Person. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I think that also, whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't skateboard anyway. So, I mean, these are all things that just by happenstance, it's like, oh, darn.
I think it was more for like the boys.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I read from it. Because our boys, like Shia and all them, who loved comedy from a very young age.
Oh, good.
And I kind of really wish he would have stuck with the comedy.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, I do. Okay. I don't mention him a lot as of late. I used to.
Okay. Why?
I mean, I don't know him. It's been decades. And he's such a different... individual. I think he's a priest now.
Oh, you can still do stand up.
You can still be funny.
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of church comics.
Is there really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I guess I have seen. Do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the company I've shot two specials with, Dry Bar Comedy. They're cleaner, family friendly specials. That's like their whole hook.
Yeah.
And so I can do that, but I could also do the dirtier stuff. But yeah, no, I've had churches that have hired me based off of that. And I'm like, oh yeah, sign this contract. Don't go through my social media. But definitely sign this.
You mean like the drag brunch that you did?
Yeah.
That
I saw? Yeah. 100%. Which was so much fun. Oh my God.
I mean, yes.
It was amazing.
1,000%.
Yes, those big women did splits. It was incredible. but yeah, no.
So what is it called again? It's a certain type of comic that is a wholesome comic.
It's more or less like that's a clean comic.
Clean comic.
Yeah, clean comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
so
it is.
I mean like Jim Gaffigan. Mm. Brian Regan. These are your
They make good money, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're killing the game. Brian Regan, I met once years ago and I asked him, I was like, how many days a year do you work? He's like, I do 100 days a year and the rest of the time I'm with my family. I'm like, sign me up for that.
Hell yeah.
That's what I want.
So is it harder, do you think, when you're approaching, first of all, you're the first comic besides Chris Fleming that I've interviewed. And Chris has a very unconventional approach to comedy, right?
Sure.
He's more of like a mixed media, like whole different thing.
Yeah.
Which, not to say that you couldn't, you know, but I'm just saying that, like, that's his current approach.
Sure, sure.
And so I'm really kind of really curious about how do you approach it? Like, you seem so composed. You seem like you know what you're doing. You really do.
That's so sweet.
You have a child.
And it also teaches me that you've been around comics where you're just like, you seem put together.
Well, in my 20s, I dated a few, you know?
Oh, really? So you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I definitely just know that there's a dark side to them, of course. We all know that at this point.
We are Sid's toys from Toy Story.
Oh, I love that.
That's us. Yeah. Yeah, that 100%. We were the toys who got kind of damaged and dinged and put together in a wrong way, but the wrong way we're put together makes us funny.
And you still want to be played with.
Yes, all the time. Absolutely. Yes, please.
Even more so.
Yeah, even more so now, because we need to. So yeah, no, there is something about a comic being a weird person, because we very much so, like, at some point in our life, being funny was the defense mechanism. That was the thing where we had to survive, and that's the tool we used to survive, and it worked, and then that's just what we clung to.
Do you remember the first moment that comedy helped you thrive and survive a moment?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. When I was growing up, yeah. Yeah, because I grew up in this hood little town in Northern California in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. And very much so, it was just a tale of two different neighborhoods for me, because my family, we grew up, the neighborhood we lived in was pretty nice, and it was on the better side of town. Mm-hmm. But there are like two ghettos on either bookend sides of the town, mm-hmm. where my sisters, they moved as soon as they were 18, they got out of Dodge, and I was the baby. Mm-hmm. So weekends, I was just going and hanging out with them, staying the night, just hanging out in the hood. And if I was hanging out there, I had to be funny in certain situations. Otherwise, it was like, I gotta run away, or I might get my ass beat, something bad might happen. There was a lot of bullying that would happen and things like that.
Of course.
And that was where I learned very quickly, if I could roast myself harder than you could roast me, and then tag you into it on the other side in front of your boys, I can get out of Dodge. And so being funny became the currency. So being funny to my friends got me in a place where I wouldn't get my ass beat. Being funny to my mom would help cheer up if my parents were arguing or anything like that. Being funny to my teachers meant I didn't have to get in trouble, because if I could say something that made the teacher laugh, then I was scot-free. I wouldn't get detention. Mm-hmm. So I was able to narrowly escape. So one was, remember the DARE
narrowly
program?
Narrowly escape, manipulate.
The whole thing, right? Remember the DARE program?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I should tell this story.
Please, but, please tell the story.
So we had...
And then cry.
Right, I know. Yeah, this is where the tear will happen. but for different reasons. So we had the DARE program. The cop would just come to us every week, and we would just play with his toys, basically.
Here's a gun.
Yeah, he's like, here's the baton, and this is the mace. Don't spray it, but isn't it cool looking? We were like, wow. We handcuffed the bad kid in class and put him in the back of the car, which turned out to be foreshadowing. and then he was like, the canine unit's coming next week. We're going to let you guys hang out with the dogs. And we were like, oh, my God.
Was he like somebody's uncle or like
no, this was
stepdad?
A cop. This was a cop. But so, why I mean, was he was just pulling all these strings. I don't know.
Why
I have
is he
no
coming
idea.
Around so
granted,
often?
In my hometown, there's like four cops. That's like all we have. Like,
yeah.
We've got like Barney Fife with the one ring, and that's all we have.
Yeah.
The purge starts at 5.
Oh, man.
And so he was excited to bring the canine unit. So the day came, and he just showed up, and there were no dogs. And we were like, what's going on? And then he was like, I regret to inform you kids that unfortunately the head of the canine unit passed away this past week. And everybody got real
the
quiet.
The dog?
Yeah, no, the person who was the head of the unit. The officer.
I don't know why I thought it was like the top
dog. I know, right? The top dog died. And we're like, oh, no.
That's even worse.
That would have been worse. I know. I would have been way sad. Oh, and everybody got real quiet. And I looked around. And I raised my hand to ask what I thought everybody was thinking, which was, so there's no dog? And he's like, I'm like, I know, but like, you went to the academy for how long? Like, guns, tasers, piece of cake, leash, how do you use this thing? And my black teacher had to leave the room because she was laughing so hard.
When
I was like, there's no dog. She was like that guttural, like, like that, like that, that wheezing laugh.
Yes.
And then I heard her go out in the hallway just, losing it because of that. And I was like, okay, I will not be getting in trouble today. I will not be getting detention.
So your
that.
Intention was to alleviate, you know, a very tense situation for everybody.
Always. When there was an intense situation, that's just kind of the comedian's defense mechanism. It's like, let me try and make it a joke right now to bring this back down to earth.
So Miles, I kind of fell into the rabbit hole of Miles. That sounded weird.
Yeah, sure. That's
we
fun.
Can go with that.
I've got a rabbit hole. That's cool.
Everybody's got a rabbit hole.
They do.
So, and they fall down it sometimes. And so I fell down Miles. Okay, this isn't working.
That's it. If you'd have kept going, then it would have gone somewhere.
So he basically popped up on my feed because everything on my algorithm has to do with being a millennial.
Yeah.
Aging.
Yes. Yes.
Pining for yesteryear.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. My content.
Yes.
My podcast's content.
Yeah.
And so Miles pops up because you're currently focusing on 90s humor.
Yeah.
Which, mind you, a lot of people do little bits.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I thought of this little bit and I'm going to make it like, I don't know, like a video of it and it goes viral. Because everyone's like, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
But you're doing it on like a whole nother level, which is actually, I think, something that the world really, truly needs.
Yeah, especially right now.
Yeah, why would you say right now?
I mean, I think we really cling to nostalgia when it's really challenging times. Like, I feel like that makes sense just like biologically. If right now this moment sucks, we're gonna mentally try and go back to a moment that didn't suck. Mm-hmm. And I think like being a kid in the 90s, I think it was the last decade where we didn't know what we didn't know. Mm. Like, we weren't all up each other's asses with business of like, what are you doing? And what are you thinking and everything? Mm. Like, we didn't know most of what's going on the other side of the country or whatever. So we were kind of like this disconnect. And our capacity for knowing things was just like, oh, like everything's probably fine. And now we can go and look at everything and see how not fine everything is. And so I think that pining for the 90s is really right now in a time where there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of scarcity, a lot of things where people are like, I don't know what's going to be happening right now. And it's like, yeah, but we can come talk about Tamagotchis for a little while. And we can make those connects. We could talk about 90s movies and make those connects. I could talk about my childhood and the things that I remember from the 90s that I really like romanticize. And maybe there's something in that that you could like. And
it's so interesting that you said like unknowns, because it's like, unknown back then, like you said, we didn't know what we didn't know, but the tone of the unknown back then was like, that's the key. Like, a lot of people will ask me, so Christy, like, what's the deal with nostalgia? Why is it so important?
Yeah.
But you're nailing it right now, which is really great for us to kind of unpack.
Yeah.
And then have another couple laughs.
Yeah.
Why not? But like, for real, like, unknown in that sense was like joyful. In some ways,
yeah,
it felt like reckless abandon.
Yes,
so you could like a lot of people will say in our age range, like, I did a lot of crazy shit, but it wasn't documented.
Yeah,
and it's like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes,
it's your every moment wasn't, I guess, almost like waiting to go back online.
Yes, yeah,
like I'm just waiting to go. Where is my phone charged yet? Like, can I use my phone? Like, even my kids, which is crazy because I know you have a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
It'll end up becoming screen time thing where there's a really great way to use screen time.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, oh shit, now I need to manage screen time.
Yes.
So that they don't become, you know, I don't know, whatever, some Godzilla kid.
Yeah, whatever kid who's just constantly like 2 inches away from a screen all day.
And it's a fight, right?
It
even
is.
Those kids might have good parents. I mean, you know, it's like, it is a fight. It's a reality.
It is.
It's a reality.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So that's the unknown that was like why we all kind of like band together and have this like collective consciousness.
Yes.
Do you feel like other generations were nostalgic too, or is this like unique to millennials?
No, I mean, I feel like everybody is. I feel like we just got done reliving the 80s in a lot of ways. I feel like Gen X really has had a stranglehold on like, oh, 80s themed parties. We went to an 80s themed wedding last year for our friends. And so like—
And that, they were Gen X or?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were like right on the cusp.
Okay.
And so I was just like, okay, this makes
sense.
And
all their guests were like older.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it made sense. Mm. And so being able to kind of go down that road and say like, okay, it seems like we always get to a point where, okay, let's go back and look at whenever the generation who's in their 30s and 40s seems to be running a lot of the stuff that's getting put out, it seems like they're going to go back to that time when they were a kid and we just got out of it being the 80s. Mm. We're just now getting in the 90s. The thing though, that's going to be interesting is seeing the nostalgia for like the early 2000s. Because I feel like with the 90s, like you were talking about that unknown being kind of a little bit more having levity to it, having more positivity and optimism to the
unknown. Like literally like quoting Ace Ventura.
Because
or
we,
like Adam Sandler movies.
Yes, exactly.
Or like whatever.
Exactly. I think it's because like we weren't to the future yet. The year 2000 seemed very like, ooh, the Jetsons. And
Y2K hit years later.
yes. It was a whole thing. Yeah. We thought it was going to be the Jetsons on the other side of the 2000s. Turns out it's going to be a little bit more like the Flintstones. But but yeah, man, I think the unknown of that, like when did Marty go back to the future? I think it was what, 2015? That was still in front of us. And so we still have all these pop culture like landmarks of like, oh, what's it going to be like then? And so many of those things were kind of wrong. And now things are going sideways in a lot of ways. And we're just like, oh, okay. So that's what makes me curious. Like, what is the nostalgia going to look like for the early 2000s? Because that's when things really started to pick up a different trajectory. And the year 2000 wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
No, I feel really bad for the younger generations because they don't have that. And sometimes I wonder, how do we help them through it?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we give them what we had?
I mean, conversation is important. And I feel like that's a really important thing that seems on paper stupid to say. But I also know like a lot of the older generations just really like shitting on the younger generations. Like I don't have to throw a stick too far to get a boomer to be like, you're a millennial, you're lazy, you're this, you're that. And it's like,
are they right though? Maybe they're right.
I don't think they are though. I don't. I think we just, and I was talking about this with your producer beforehand. I think millennials just, we work more efficiently. I think
we had to.
We got multiple things going on.
And they
at
were
once.
Like 9 to 5 and then the weekend warrior, you know, mentality.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And then that, and that's just what they do. And we looked at, and that's the thing also that I think we missed out on being called millennials, not going with the alphabet because it was like Gen X. And then now we've got Gen Z and we got skipped and called millennials. Yeah, we should have been Gen Y.
Motherfuckers.
We could have been Generation Y.
Because we were shit on by everything and everyone.
And
then.
We were the first generation when the previous generation was like, this is how you do things. We were like, why? Mm-hmm. And they were like, don't ask questions. We didn't ask questions.
We all rebelled.
How dare you ask questions? Yeah. So we were all just like, no, this
I don't think there's a single
efficient.
Person I know that cannot relate to adolescent rebellion in some way. Even if they were a good kid and like only slightly rebelled.
Yes.
Like there was the why of being a millennial for sure.
Yeah, that question of just like, yeah, but why are we doing it this way? Mm-hmm. Is this the most efficient way? Why do I have to work 40 hours at least a week until I'm too old to do anything? And that's the good plan. Like that's what we're doing. And so when we ask why to that, and now you see more people who are working from home or like stacking their work where it's like, oh, I'm going to do a bunch of work for this part of the year and be able to have this part of the year off. Like,
so the difference between us and the younger generation is that, and I wonder why this exactly is in your mind. I don't know if it's definitely pandemic too, but like they were very much about mental health and always have been.
Yes.
And they're like, no, you're going to pay me. Because labor like is worth X.
Yeah.
And this is my value. And I think there's this really great trope because I actually don't think that millennials are as harsh on Gen Z. I don't know. This is my opinion because I'm not. Because I think we want to be friends with them.
Yes.
And they're pretty fucking hard on us. Like they actually, there's some like rumors that they're kind of like the new boomers.
Yes. Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
but that millennials are also the best bosses because they're like, do you need time? Like, what do you need?
And we're more aware of the psychological toll.
I think we're getting tired of that, Miles, though.
We are.
I got to be honest with you because everyone I know who's trying to hire like consultants or like younger people to do certain kinds of labor jobs, they're like, look, you still have to fucking work.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You're going through a hard time, but you have to fucking show up for
me. Still got to show up and we got to do these things.
So little by little, I think people are getting... A little bit. That was like an overcorrection.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. I mean, but that's kind of how we do it, right? Like the one generation will be like, oh, this messed up. Well, we're going to do it this way because that wasn't good. And then we overcorrect and then we just keep batting it around until we get to the middle.
Yeah, right? For sure.
So, yeah, I think they might be the generation that finds the better middle ground.
But also, hopefully. How lucky are we that we live in a country that we can have this much social, like, I don't even know the word, you know, because words are very charged these days.
They are.
And that's another thing I actually want to talk to you about because, you know, with Vulnerable, I just love the segues that I can move into understanding certain aspects of a person's career having certain vulnerabilities to it.
Yeah.
Comedy right now is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
True.
Yes.
You being up on stage saying things could cause you to get canceled.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you deal with that?
I mean, for me, it's more just a matter of the vetting process of the jokes that I write. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife co-writes everything with me.
That's awesome. And so props to the wife.
Big shout out. My wife is amazing.
What's her name?
Heather. Heather Weber. So she is fantastic. She's amazing. Name. She's an amazing wife.
Mama.
And she's been, and she's an amazing mother. Yes. And she's been around since like close to day one with my career. So she knows the ins and outs of it. She gets it. And so being able to bounce ideas off of her of like, hey, I've got this idea for a joke. This is what I was thinking. And then she'll immediately poke holes in it to just like, well, yeah, but like, what about this perspective? Or like you say this about these people in this joke. What if they say this to you? And then it's like, okay, well, now I know like the stability of the jokes. Whereas I think a lot of comics will just be like, oh, well, this is the joke. I'm just going to try it out. Here we go. That's it. And they don't vet it with anybody else who isn't them.
Interesting.
So me being able to vet it with a woman who's been through a lot of stuff and like been through that side of things of being like in a lot of male dominated industries, she's got a lot of good perspective of just like, yeah, but what about this? And what about this? And so that really helps me get to a point where the joke is going to be as well thought out as humanly possible. Because I think there's just, we used to be able to just write the joke, do the joke, and then that was
it. Well, you tested it. You vetted it with audiences.
Yes.
So it must be that like so much of that experience and that process that I was curious about is rooted in the ego itself.
Yes.
Because you're like, I came up with it. I'm confident enough to do this on stage.
Exactly.
They didn't fucking find it funny, but maybe the next group will find it
funny. Yeah, you're always just going to have a different puzzle every time with the audience.
It's like the scientific, what is it, the scientific theory or where they do things like a million times before they find it?
Yeah, before they find that happy medium of like, oh, this is where it is.
But so you're doing the extra work of vetting it with your partner, who's also your life partner.
Yes.
And sort of like, that's really lovely.
Yes. And it helps. Yeah. It helps for sure. So, I mean,
it makes you funnier to even do that.
It does. Yeah. It the constant pushing of different perspective. And it's also how you get deeper with jokes, because that's where a lot of people get into trouble is just like keeping things on the surface of just, oh, well, I thought of this premise. And then now I think these are the jokes where, well, if you keep it on the surface level, anybody could have thought of that joke. So being able to go deeper and deeper and deeper into a subject, you're going to get the weird things that any common audience member couldn't think of. And then also you're going to be able to go deeper and go, well, if you're upset at this aspect of looking at this joke this way, I have these jokes for you that kind of validate that.
It's survival, like you were back in the day.
Yeah. You have to just accommodate for like, what could any person say in this moment that they might not be okay with this part of the joke or this part of the joke? And can you back it up with more jokes just on the subject? And that's how the joke becomes a bit, becomes a chunk, becomes half of the special or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes more work now.
I love when comics circle back.
Yes.
Do you do that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Callbacks. Absolutely.
That's like 100%. So good.
100%. Yeah. No, the new set I'm doing on the 90s has like a small theme that's subtle throughout the whole show, and then I bring it all together at the very end in a big way. So,
you're so good. And you're coming to Austin, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to get back to Austin later this year.
Look, Austin, I love Austin, obviously. I've drank the drink on it. I don't know if I can say that, but
it's
great. I did.
I was there last year. It's such a fun city.
It's, you know, look, say what we want about Joe Rogan, but he is everyone's sort of like, I don't know how you feel about him as a comedian, exclusively about him as a comedian.
Yeah.
Joe is like Austin's like mayor next to like Matthew McConaughey. And when it comes to comedy, his comedy mothership place has become the city hall for comedians to like come through. Paramount, the state, which is next to it.
Yep.
You know, I've seen my girls from Giggly Squad and come through, and Z-Way, and like so many amazing people have come through that have comedy backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so Austin is a hot spot for comedy.
It is. So a lot of these places are, these stand-up meccas are starting to pop up around the country.
Are those audience like vastly different with what they laugh at?
They can differentiate for sure, but there always seems to be kind of like, it's just these densely populated areas, they tend to swing more progressive. They swing a little bit more liberal. So, I mean, they're a little bit more open.
They're
laughing more? Yeah. Well, it's...
Although, I don't know. Sometimes...
It's hard because, like, a liberal audience, oddly enough, who swings very hard left, they can be more reserved with their laughs.
It's sad. Because, that's so sad.
Because
we used to be funny guys.
We did. Used to laugh. I know. We used to have a good time.
Bring back laughing.
I know. And so now they're kind of reserved with their laughs, where they're just like, well, I don't know where this is going.
Why'd you come to
You
can't virtue signal at a comedy show. Honestly, it's very fucking hard.
Yeah, it's really hard to do.
Oh, I feel so bad for us right now.
Whereas the conservative audiences, oddly enough, They assume that.
I mean, they're performing their laughter.
They are.
They're like
when they go out to have a good time, they assume everything is going to go exactly the way they thought it was going to go. That's why they're the same type of people who are going to talk to the manager when it doesn't go their way afterwards, because they're so angry because they're like, everything was going to go perfectly. And that was the assumption I was living my life under. How dare you live outside of that? And so if you fall within their like Plinko chip of like, this is what I like, they love you. Like
that's
pandering,
Miles.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. And so I'm not a political comic.
But there's a middle, okay?
Yes.
Because of all of this, I do feel like there's an emerging middle ground of people who want to coexist.
Yes.
And laugh yes. together in the same room.
Yes.
How do you navigate that as a comic? I think the millennial, by the way, just mind you.
Sure.
There's two things that in my like current brand
yeah.
that are something that I think everyone can relate on.
Yeah.
One is advocacy for, child actors
yeah.
and sort of like helping them manage sure. their mental health in the duration of their careers as artists, young artists,
oh,
and
yeah.
child laborers. That's so serious, right?
Yeah.
So on the flip side of that for me is millennial humor.
Yes.
And like everyone can relate to that.
Yeah.
Even if it's just on their feed
yes.
and they're not laughing audibly,
yeah.
they can relate to that. It's a little bit unproblematic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that's why I was so intrigued by you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a matter, I think, of just the humor evolving over time, you know? But at the core of things right now, it's you always got to circle back to, like, what's the material that's most human? That's the big thing. Like,
would
what
you ever
am I
make a joke about
human?
A child actor?
Probably. I almost was one.
What? We didn't even talk about
I was
about
so
that.
Close to that. Yeah,
really?
When I was 4 and 5 years old, my dad had me in
acting. I mean,
acting.
That's time to get a job, Miles.
Like, I know, right? He's yeah. just like, you got to start pulling your weight. Like, yeah. what are we doing now? You started walking, you're talking, let's go.
Let's go.
And so he had me when I was in four and 5 years old. I was in acting, modeling, and improv classes.
Wow.
And when I was 5, I remember being in the house.
And pooping your pants.
And pooping my pants,
yep.
of course, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But wiping effectively.
Good.
And yes, you have to. No infections. And I remember being in my bedroom and my dad was on the phone and he got a call from an agency who was like, oh, we want to hire your son for an M&M's commercial. It's going to be like a national M&M's commercial. And he was on the phone. He was like, do you want to do this M&M's commercial? And I remember vividly being like, no, I think I just want to be a normal kid.
Wow.
And I went back in my room and kept playing. And that was just it.
I'm sorry, you were 5?
I was 5.
You remember this?
I was 5. Yeah, I had just started kindergarten. I was a few months in.
You're like one of those people though that has a really good memory, huh?
Of certain things. Okay. Certain things are crystal clear. Mm-hmm. Like big moments that I can trace back to be like, oh, that was an important moment. I could remember that like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So that moment, I remember like being in the hallway and being like, no, I just want to be a normal kid. And it was like, no thing. And as an adult now, I'm like, the wherewithal.
Yeah,
to just the awareness to be like
the autonomy.
Be like, nah, I think I just want to be a normal kid.
And also appreciating your dad for being like, this is an opportunity that we're going to turn
oh,
away.
Oh, for sure.
Because it could have been quick money. Like he could
oh, sure.
justify it in any way.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very, dare I say, like sexy. There's a
yes.
alluring thing to that kind of
yeah.
quickness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was almost down that path.
Crazy.
So that is something that I think about, you know, is just like those types of perspectives of those type of people.
Yeah. Well, go easy on us, okay?
I mean, yeah.
We're very triggered by people making fun of us.
You've been through a lot. Like, I mean, because that's the thing. Now, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, okay, I avoided some shit. I think I narrowly avoided because you turned out okay.
Yeah,
Macaulay
we're okay.
Culkin seems like he's
doing great.
Okay.
I
he's doing fantastic.
I went to high school with him.
Oh,
I went to the same high school as him. I went to high school with his sister, and his family all went to that same performing arts school in Manhattan.
Wow.
He is really doing great. And he's with
he's
Brenda Song.
Yes.
Who's a Disney Channel icon.
Yes.
And like, I just loved seeing them. You really do start to kind of root.
Oh, yeah,
for
sure.
These individuals who are on the other side of it.
Absolutely.
But I think so much of that prevention is another time.
Yes. Yes.
Hey. I told you before we started, and
yes.
we've had a great time. I mean, this
we
been
have.
Really we've been chitty chatting.
We're doing good.
I was a little nervous. I was like, oh, we're so serious usually, but this is fun.
Yes, this has been a blast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were so smart.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I followed your social media. I figured you were going to be a fucking moron. And I'm like, oh my God.
No, but also too, okay, so the people that hate on nostalgia.
Yeah, how miserable I think a person must be to be like, oh, you remember a thing that makes you happy? Blah. Like, yeah, that's such a weird thing. Like, I don't know where
people
get off.
Like, it's a kink for them.
It's weird. I mean, but hating on things is just, that's the new.
It's a kink.
It is.
I think it is.
It is.
I think people get off on being shitty.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
They do.
It's like, I love how you just breathe through that.
Oh, because, yeah, because, I mean, it's just the daily fight of just looking at people in my comments and being like, you must be going through a lot to that you took. People come back for weeks.
Same people?
Same people.
It's called blocking.
For weeks.
Please do it.
Oh, no, I don't. I see how long. Like, and there was one guy, I posted something in like April of last year.
Name him.
He was in my, oh, I forget. But he was in my comments till like September. And just kept coming back.
Was it the same thing? Copy paste? Copy paste?
No, he was just fighting people. He would just come back. Somebody would say something to him and he would get in the weeds and fight with them. And finally, I was just like, hey, homie, are you okay? Like,
aww, that's
you
like Sarah Silverman did that, right?
Yeah, it's like, you keep coming back here. Like, are you not going after your dreams or is life not like being how you want it to be? And he's like, yeah, probably not. And that was just kind of it. He just kind of like accepted defeat
and was
like
it?
Honest and
no
was just
more.
Like, and then he just kind of disappeared. Yeah, yeah. So I just think, yeah, a lot of people probably aren't doing okay. And so people get in the comments. And
that's the whole reason why the humor exists.
Too, yes.
Is like if you let it creep in and if you don't find it funny, then don't look at it. Like yeah. that's the funny thing
it doesn't have to be for you. Like comedy's not for everybody. It's subjective.
Yeah. I guess they get so pissed because it's on their For You page.
Oh, exactly.
And they're like, but this is for me.
But it's for me. This isn't for me. I don't like this.
This isn't for me and I'm going to comment on it.
Oh yeah. And my comments are hilarious.
Hold on a second. This is something I also wanted to say.
Yes.
So these motherfuckers say, oh, these people are severely unemployed.
Very.
Why do they have a whole rewatch podcast? Why do they have, why are they talking about this particular time? Like, why can't they move on? I'm like, bitch, do you know that this is my job?
This is what it is.
I employ myself.
Yeah.
Would I be doing this if I wasn't making it worth my while?
Yes.
This is the best job that I can possibly have.
People want to see the hits. Like,
people
want
to talk about it.
They want to talk about it. They want to know the behind the scenes of it. They want to know every single thing about that thing that they loved back in the day when life was simpler. They want to know every nook and cranny
about
it.
You make it seem so simple, Miles.
That's what it is.
I don't know why they don't get it.
They don't get it. Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of them do get it. I just think a lot of people just get off. Like you said, they get off on
it's
trolling.
Kinky.
It's the kink.
I'm not into that. That's why I block people.
Can I be shitty to her and get her to respond to me? Yes. Or even the block. If they go back and they're like, Christy Carlson Romano blocked you. They're like, power. So yeah, I mean, who knows?
Joke's on you.
Is.
I hired a social media manager.
Exactly.
So now
someone reads it for me.
It's not going to be me anymore.
I'm going to be fine and do my morning breath work and my cold plunges and I'm going to be okay.
Oh, cold plunges. Do you do cold plunge?
I don't usually. I try and turn on the shower cold for a second. Then I scream and I turn it back to hot. That's usually how my morning start is with a and then that's it. I like it. And some people in the comments just kind of walk into it. One guy was in my comments and he was like, this guy for sure sits down when he pees. And I was like, I do. It makes less of a mess. Like, what's wrong with you animals? Like, so yeah, man. Like sometimes I think people just say what would kill them. And if you could just own that, they're like, that's like we were talking earlier, something I learned when you're being bullied. It's like, if you can just be like, yeah, and this that you missed, then that's really how you take the piss out of a bully more times than not.
Is with humor.
Yeah. Yeah. An acceptance of this, like.
You ever get into a fight, like a fist fight ever when you were a kid? Like, do you have anger
almost.
Issues?
I got away. I was fast. That was my thing.
You told a knock-knock joke on the way.
And gone. Like, when chased, I always channeled Benny the Jet Rodriguez and PF Flyers.
Thank you.
100%.
I had the
Run
biggest,
him from the beast.
I'm sorry. I had the biggest fucking crush on that guy.
Same. I'm bi.
And now
as an adult,
firefighter.
I'm like, oh my God,
I know all the things.
He's a firefighter.
He's a firefighter.
I am so wet right now. That is incredible. Oh my God.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, the Sandlot.
Sandlot.
The
Sandlot. Hardcore nostalgia. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm salivating right now, but yeah, the Sandlot.
Yeah.
Sandlot. I was like kind of a tomboy. Like I idolized my older brother.
Okay.
So like I really dug like The Sandlot,
yes.
Homeward Bound. I don't know why. Tomboy
yeah,
movies.
Homeward
Tomboy
Bound.
Movies.
Such a sad movie.
The Mask.
The Mask.
Other
yes.
girl tomboy movies.
Yes.
Let's see.
Yes.
Yeah. All the Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, I could quote Billy Madison back in the day.
Hell yeah, you still yeah. you can.
I
bet
still
you
probably
can.
Can. Yeah,
that's
I know
the thing.
Suntan lotion is good for me. You protect me. I still
conditioner
got it.
Is better.
Shampoo is better.
See?
This is so ridiculous.
We're gonna do this. We're gonna do
that's
the whole...
exactly. I know. We're just reenacting the
yeah.
whole scene.
I dated this guy when I was a kid, like in middle school. Or no, it was like freshman year. Okay, of mm-hmm. high school. And he like only spoke in Adam Sandler movie quotes.
Oh no, I can't.
Like that was his, as the kids call it, Riz.
It's like you were dating an Adam Sandler soundboard.
Yeah, and he had this really plastic face for such a young guy, but he was still semi-attractive. I don't know how that worked. His name was Pete. His name was Pete.
Oh, Pete.
He was really nice. I just remember that. That's so weird.
That's hilarious. That's and he only so talked weird. About, how long did that last?
I'd say maybe like a month, which yeah. is like a long time.
That's a long
in
time.
In teen years, that's a long time.
That's at least like 9 months in
that's
teen
why
years.
I remember it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And oh God, that would be
a lot
annoying
of making
so
out and a lot. Yeah, but I went with a lot of things. I dated a lot of different types of people.
Would he like make out with you and then lean back and be like, your kiss is like a glacier. It's so
fucking probably yes. Like for real. That's so funny. Have you ever dated before your wife?
Yeah.
Did you ever date other comedians like female?
No. I didn't. No.
You're like, because
at that point I was 19 when I started.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, I was fresh out of high school and I just wanted to like be able to stay inside like the clubs I was performing at, because I would literally have to wait outside at most places. Mm-hmm. And then when it was time for me to go on stage, they would tap me, walk me inside to the stage, let me go on, and then walk me out because mm-hmm. there was alcohol being served there and I wasn't allowed to be
that.
There.
Okay.
And so for 2 years, I'm just like, oh, I hope I can stay inside one day. And so when I turned 21, I didn't even want to drink. I just wanted to sit at the bar at the comedy club
and
not
work.
Get kicked out and just
yeah.
work and just
yeah.
be there.
So you've just kept your head down. So
always. I was
grow.
Just, I was obsessed with stand-up.
Yeah.
And so like nothing else was going to distract me from that.
Who are your favorite comics right now? Like
right
that are
now?
Up and coming.
Oh, that are up and coming? Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, say it with me. 3, 2, 1, Matt Rife.
Oh my.
It's
oh
a joke.
Oh God, I know,
it's
right?
It's a joke,
I know.
People.
Yeah, we kid because we care. I mean, Taylor Tomlinson is killing the game right mm-hmm. now. I love Taylor Tomlinson, and she's also from Northern California as
oh,
well.
Hold on a sec. I'm thinking, and there's another, is Taylor the one that's got cerebral palsy?
No.
What's her name? Do you know the
I
comedian?
Think I know who you're talking about, but
she's
I forget
so
her name,
funny.
But she's really, really funny.
I really
yes,
want her on.
And she's blowing up right now. Yes. Oh. I was just at a club in San Diego and she was like coming. I see her. I saw her
please
coming down.
Please tell her
line.
I said
I was
hi.
Like, okay. Like, she's coming. She's really funny.
Yeah.
So, but no, I don't know. No, Taylor Tomlinson, she's getting ready to host the new show. After Midnight
okay.
on CBS. She just got that gig, but she's got specials on
I
Netflix,
guarantee
so
if I Google her,
it.
I'll be like, oh, fuck.
You'll
I
be
totally
like her, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
yeah. So she's really, really funny. She's killing the game right now. Who else is really good right now?
Do you ever write other people's jokes or?
Yeah, I actually coach comedians.
I get
so,
that.
Yeah, I have an online coaching company. And so I coach comics. And that's been something I've been doing since the pandemic.
Where can people really find that?
Greenroomtalk.org.
Amazing.
Greenroomtalk.org. Okay. We're getting ready to do semesters this year with a bunch of different headlining comics who people like actually know. And so I've like worked with them over the years and I'm like, hey, would you like teach a course in comedy and we can make like an actual thing that people could find beneficial. And
the
they're like,
thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
The thing thing is always
yeah,
great.
The thing things are always great, right? And so yeah, I love helping comics write. I love it so much.
Like giving back in that way is probably really... Also just like very
yes.
positive too.
Yes. Yeah. Or see, like sometimes you see in a comic, like when you see them on stage, they're like relatively green. They're only a few years in. They're still trying to figure it out.
Terrifying
but
to
then
watch,
it's,
I bet.
Oh yeah,
it's they're
hard.
Probably so traumatized.
Because
they're
like just,
watching it happen.
Yeah, they're just figuring it out. But then like you see something and then I love talking to a comic when you see it where I'm like, there's a bit you do. And in that bit, you are like this way and your energy kind of feels like this.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of like really leaning into that? Because
yeah.
that seems like really more of who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. So if you can lean into that, then some shit might happen. And then seeing a few years later, working with them again and being like, you figured it out. Aww. Oh my God.
You're like Lightning McQueen.
Yeah. Ka-chow.
You've
got to
be like the nicest, most well-adjusted comic I've ever met.
Oh, that's really sweet of you to say.
Heather
Thank
did
you.
A great job training
she
you.
She really, really, really did.
She did.
She really did. I owe being a semi-functional adult to my wife just teaching me how to do laundry, how to cook, how to adult, how to this.
Would you ever do like joke? How do you guys have like a policy of like don't talk about her in jokes, or like do you ever?
No, I mean, because I don't have anything that's like bad about her. Like, I mean,
you're like actually
everything
like
is like how she's awesome, or she's an ass kicker, or yeah, she's just, or this is where she really pulled the wool out from under me and got one over on me and it was funny, you know?
Yeah.
So I even say that in my act where I'm like, I know it goes against the typical old ball and chain stand-up comedy trope, but I love my wife. Like, that's my homie. And I like her too. That's the difference. Like, loving someone, you'll get there. Like, you'll love them. That's cool. Lovey dovey. Hallmark movies, the whole thing.
You know that millennial
liking someone is
totally
an important thing.
Yeah, because you're stuck with them for life.
Yes.
Until you decay and die together.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a lot.
You got to be like holding their hair when they're throwing up after a night of not pre-gaming the right way.
Or chemo.
Or that.
Like, for real. Like, I mean, that shit
she
is
had
real.
When we first got together, she had ovarian cancer.
Wow.
My wife. Yeah. And so she beat it twice because it came back again. And
holy
so,
shit.
So
I did not
yeah,
know that.
Being able to go through that, you know, and see her come out the other side of that and be good now
that's
has
amazing.
Been inspiring. So
did you watch her give birth?
Yes, I was there.
See,
I was there
so
the whole time.
So my husband actually reached in. This is really a lot of information.
Oh, wow. He was in there, huh?
He wanted to be the first person to like, yes. And so my husband reached in both times to my body, to my orifice, and took my babies out. And so when you are that.
Did you have twins?
Nope.
Okay, so this was just second time he's like, I'm going in again.
26 months later.
I've been here before.
Yes. Hello. And so no, but he did. Yeah, he was. Oh my gosh, that's so romantic.
That's incredible.
Like,
that
kind
got
of intimacy,
that.
Gen Z does not get yet.
Oh yeah,
unless they had kids, I guess super young. But like they're just processing that shit.
Yes, yes.
So
it means more to be there in that room when it's happening.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you before, but millennial dads are spending three times as much more time with their families and children than previous generations.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's a new thing that's happening more. That's really cool to see happen.
Yeah.
I forget the comic's name, and it's a shame because it was such a good joke. And he's like, yeah, this is like the first generation where we've had dads. Because in the 80s, it was what? Mr. Mom? And it's like, I think that's just called being a dad, what you're describing. Like, you know, taking care, being
it's
home.
It's called co-parenting.
That's called co-parenting. That's just called parenting your kid. So.
There was no fucking word.
Yeah, no.
For that.
Yeah.
And it literally is just co and parenting.
Co and parenting.
Which you could just not even have the co.
Yeah.
And it would be
you're
fine.
Just parenting.
Listen, you need to do, dad life humor is also really big.
Oh, yeah.
But I know that you're currently doing a lot of 90s humor, a lot of millennial stuff.
Well, before this special, my second dry bar special that I wrote, it's called Dad Lifts.
Oh, perfect.
And it's mostly just material
about. Can
people
see it? Like
online? Yeah. If they go online, it's on the Dry Bar Comedy app. It's up on there.
Oh,
and
cool.
It'll be up on YouTube.
I need to download that app. That sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah.
Dry bar.
And that's something
clean
that you could put on and the kids that are running around. And you don't have to worry about it. That's the thing that people like. Because people will come to me at shows. They're like, oh, we play your dry bar all the time because the kids can have it on and they don't care.
Yeah,
and so, yeah. And I love being able to do that for those audiences. But I also love being able to do both. Where it's like, okay, the people who like the clean stuff, here's yours.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to write something that's a little bit more PG-13 or R. And the 90s set is skewing more that, for
sure. They just want to laugh. They
just
really
laugh.
Need it.
People
you're
just
doing them a
happy.
Service, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
I do what I can. I'm gonna
Miles
keep doing the
Weber, you guys, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
This was fun.
This was a blast.
You're a funny guy.
Thank you.
And so you know the Green Room. What was it?
Greenroomtalk.org.
Right.
That's how you can find out about coaching. And if you want to see my 90s show, you can get tickets at milesweber.com. And you can follow me at social media, at Miles Weber Joker, on all the things, except for on Facebook. I'm at Miles Funny.
Miles, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.